Hey, everyone. Welcome to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
My name is Eric Turney.
And we are going to have a great conversation. Eric, what is your hot take?
Yes, my hot take is AI is changing business for the better.
Okay, I want to dig more into that because it's so funny. I feel like every conversation that I scroll past or that I join on this podcast or on social media is either AI is taking our jobs and here's why that's bad, or AI is going to take your job and here's why that's good, or I don't even know what AI is, but I know I'm supposed to know about it, so I guess I got to figure it out. So tell us more about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. AI, I hear that all the time too. Hey, AI is coming. We're taking over your job. Watch out. No one's going to have a job by 2030, especially service-based jobs and everything there. But the way we've adapted AI in our business model, it's saving countless man hours and it's developing more jobs for people in our industry, at least, because we have more time to work on things that don't require that monotonous data input, data shuffling, double data entry. I mean, and cycling through mass amounts of data and, you know, even things like we set up an automation to reply to Google reviews with AI. I mean, something simple like that. It does take 5 minutes out of my day, maybe, to reply to a Google review. But having an automation set up like that is a time saver. And my personal belief, I don't think AI will ever replace humans. I think it's just going to branch out, bring more jobs to in different sectors. So it may replace certain things, but that'll open up in other ways.
Yeah, maybe this is my hot take, maybe. But I've been a big proponent in these conversations when I come across them of I don't want to hear about artificial intelligence. I want us to think about it as augmented intelligence, right? I'm a busy person. I have a small business. I wear all the hats. So yes, could I spend 5 minutes a day replying to Google reviews? Absolutely. Is that the highest and best use of my 5 minutes? No, especially not when there's opportunities for me to bring in efficiencies, bring in automations, things that allow me and free me up to do the things that only I can do. Let's let the AI do the things that the AI can do that are not really the highest and best use of my time.
100%. No, I couldn't agree more. And now with the integrations to Zapier, integrations to Google Sheets, ChatGPT is easier than ever. And I love that your podcast centers around customer service and, you know, really nailing the customer experience, because AI can really do that. Automated touch points within the customer's journey after they place the order. In our industry, we do customized apparel like custom hats and, you know, screen printing and all that. So there is a production time once they place their order. It can be a month sometimes before a customer will get their order. And having touch points along those lines about, hey, this is where it's starting. And then individualizing those touch points with AI to basically, and there's tools out there that will crawl their LinkedIn and do these cool pitches about, hey, I saw you went to Vanderbilt for school. It's just becoming such an essential tool we see for businesses to save time, save money, and if you're not using it, I think you're really missing out, small business.
Yeah, I think small businesses especially. I have a lot of enterprise customers that I work with, right? And they're all being pushed hard to use AI in their systems. And they're being given the time and the space and the resources to learn about it and to have access to the tools and to have the specialized trainings. But like, hey, small businesses don't always have that same access or that same opportunity. So if someone is hearing this and they say to themselves like, okay, I need to figure out a way to better integrate AI into my life. I don't know where to start. Or I'm a little bit, you know, intimidated by it. What's the first thing you would have them do? Where should they start?
Oh, yeah, simple. Just ChatGPT. And I know there's a lot of stigma. My dad even asked me the other day, he's like, what is this ChatGPT thing? You're like, how does it work? I don't understand this AI. And I just gave him like a 5-minute tutorial on asking basic questions and, you know, writing emails and how it helps me in certain ways. And now he's in his late 60s and he's got the app on his phone. He's using it. Just start simple. Start there with a simple app and then let it branch from there. There's a ton of great videos on YouTube about, you know, creating your own custom GPT or connecting it to different software models that you have. Yeah, I mean, that's my suggestion. You don't need to dive in head first and try to create these really complex automations. Start simple, a review, you know, an automated review, and let it go, because it's not as scary as people think. Especially, there's a lot of like baby boomers are starting to retire and sell their businesses right now. And in our, this is what we did. I worked for the Monterey company for years. The previous founder went to retire, and me and two partners ended up buying the business. And that's what we did. We got this business up to speed with automation, with, you know, moving out of that archaic, old way of doing business. So, I mean, entrepreneurs nowadays, I think there's honestly a gold mine out there with baby boomers retiring, you stepping into a business and really getting it, utilizing technology to get it up to speed.
You know, you made a comment of like, don't dive in too fast. And I would say that is probably the mic drop comment that we all have to really like double down on, because I am an excitable person. Like I'm an early adopter, right? So when something, I dive in, I get obsessed. I really like try to learn everything about it. And then I get burned out on it, or I get overwhelmed by it, or I get stressed on it. And then I move on to the next thing that I'm excited about and obsessed with. And, you know, it is kind of like overwhelming to say there's all these things I have to learn. But if I try to do too much too fast, then I will either misunderstand or misrepresent the technology, right? Because I have a lot of people who will say like, oh, ChatGPT told me this. I'm like, yeah, but you know it can hallucinate, right? Like, you know it, that it's not always using the right things. I'm like, oh, no, I didn't know that. I thought it was just connected to the internet. I'm like, well, it is. But sometimes you have to tell it to go out to the internet and look, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's programmed to agree with you. It's programmed to acquiesce to your thoughts or to hype you up. And unless you tell it like, hey, don't just hype me up, tell me the truth, it might not, like, it's only as good as the way that you use it and the way that you program it. And if people don't understand that, then they might be disappointed when it doesn't do what they think it should do.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't agree more. It's not a perfect system. It's getting better and better.
Hallucinating. Oh, my God,
It's the hallucinating thing I've had some funny ones that have come up, especially in our industry with screen printing, embroidery, and custom product making. We'll be writing copy, let's say for a landing page on our website, and pulling ideas from different, you know, Bronx or Claude. That's not right. That's way off. So, that's where I think like you're always going to have that human touch in there. The models aren't perfect yet. They're getting better and better. And, but yeah, having that human touch. What have you seen, hallucination episodes with ChatGPT?
Yeah. I'm a power user for sure. So I'm doing this project right now actually where, I'm working with a piece of software. I'm not super used to that software and it's a highly technical software. And so I started a chat. I was like, you know, I want you to pretend like you're an expert user of this particular piece of software. I want you to coach me through it. Assume I know absolutely nothing, take me through all of the steps. And so we started working on it. And then it would like say, oh, you know, do this, this, and this in order to get the workflow that you want. And I wouldn't see those options. So then I would send it a screenshot and it'd be like, you're right. Those options aren't there. And I was like, okay, we need to stop hallucinating. And like, if you don't know the answer, go to the website and read the documentation. Here's the website that it would be. If you don't know the answer, tell me that and ask for a screenshot, but don't just make it up based on what you think the workflow should be. And it's still like, even as someone who is literally in ChatGPT all day long, I'm still finding those missteps where I didn't give it the exact prompt that I needed. I didn't think through the implications of how the AI perceived my request versus how I perceived my request, and the nuance and the reading between the lines that a human would have that the AI doesn't. So I do agree with you. I think the AI is going to be great. I think it's going to change our businesses. So, I want to caution people to not assume that it's ready yet, or that you can just like launch an AI and then go sit on the beach and make millions of dollars while it works in the background for you.
I wish it was that easy. That would be so nice.
Oh my God. We will all enjoy that. If we don't all have jobs by 2030, I'm perfectly fine with that, because in theory, that means we're all sitting on a beach living our best lives, right?
Because exactly.
The world is great and solved and all the problems are solved.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not naive enough to think that. But, you know, when we're talking about business and customers and the relationships that we build with the people that buy from us, what do you think is going to be let's make a prediction. Let's be futurist for a minute. What do you think is going to be the typical experience for our customers? Is it going to be an AI first and a human when you need an escalation? Is it going to be a co-conversation where the human is talking but the AI is enhancing? Is it going to be all AI, or are we going to swing back to people conversations being the premium experience that we all want to have?
No, it's so funny. We were just talking about this, where it's headed. This is my theory, and I'm probably wrong. I think that every person will have their own AI assistant that will, maybe it's like an Apple related product if you have Apple, and it'll just like live with you. Where, you know, let's say you needed to buy custom hats, you would say, AI assistant, contacts, I want to find a good manufacturer for custom hats. It'll go search the web and then contact with another AI to then facilitate an order for you. So I think it's going to be kind of an AI to AI world out there, to where businesses will have their AI that kind of represent their brand in their organization. And then individual people will have them too, that will, you know, essentially do a lot of the tasks that, hey, you know, you have a bill coming up. Should we pay your power bill for you? And that's where I see it. Again, I don't know. I mean, I think that the cell phone was such a revolutionary thing, and having it in our pocket, and the iPhone. I wonder if AI will be like that, if it'll be kind of like a new cell phone that you have.
Yeah, I love the idea personally of having like a little person in my pocket that is helping me, you know, be more successful. I might even take it one step further. I'm going to like put my theory out there, is that someday it won't ask you if it won't facilitate ordering custom hats for you. It will say, hey, I think you need some custom hats. Here are some recommendations about where you can get them and what your style should be. Like, I envision a world in which it's proactive and telling you, just like when I go on Amazon, it's like, customers like you also bought these 5 things. And I say, why, yes, I do also need those 5 things. Didn't occur to me. Or, you know, the ability to get feedback of like, you know what, I don't need those 5 things. Keep trying as it keeps learning about what I'm looking for. Because, you know, if you know that I need to pay my electric bill and you know that I have cash set aside to do it, then just pay my electric bill. Don't make me think about it.
Yeah, even more proactive. I would love that. And then you're probably right, to be honest. The models are so adaptive and so smart as is that in 5 years, it's going to be wild. I mean, even in like the coding aspect of it, I build landing pages, well, some for our websites. And this would be, I've run into issues to where I'd have to hire a developer, and $250 an hour, $300 an hour. Yes. And that's saving me time, money, to where I can get some of these coding issues resolved. I mean, the coding itself, I know that's kind of not every business codes by any means. It's out of this world how I see that headache. So if it's doing that, of course it can pay my water bill.
Right. Right. Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of like change management and people getting comfortable with the idea of a robot overlord deciding your life. We're going to feel, probably going to feel a little bit like Sims characters in the Sims video game franchise. But, you know, you talked about how you've built some of these automations in your own business. Let's get really practical and specific. So tell us a little bit about your business and what kind of automations or things have you put in place that took it from a legacy business, kind of the old school way of doing things, and brought it into the new age of experience and automation.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'd love to. The Monterey company, we were founded in 1989. The original founder was Paul Stark. It was a brick and mortar promotional products, custom apparel in San Diego originally. And up and back then, there was no computer. So, you know, logos were mailed and, you know, then the fax machine came out and that changed our business. And then, you know, computers and emails. And Paul used to run ads in the newspaper back when that was a thing. And the yellow pages. And there was that, looking back on the business model back then, it was so much different. And then in mid, it was like 2003, I believe, Paul went online with the business, went fully online, shut down the brick and mortar. And he tried to capitalize on a lot of that early online success that people were having. And it worked. It worked for a lot of years. Paul built a great business. A lot of it was on principles that were outdated for nowadays, especially with AI. So now, I mean, trying to think, where do I start with automation, Phil? We run a lot of custom reports with AI. The data that it can collect is unreal. We run spreadsheets with wild amounts of data nowadays. I mean, we had a spreadsheet the other day that had 20,000 rows in it, and it was every order that we'd done for the last 3 years. And then we were able to pull industry from it, able to pull a customer's email, where we're shipping orders to. And then we compiled that data into like hotspots. Since we ship all over the United States, California, Texas, Florida were hotspots that we're sending a lot of orders. So then we could like target our meta ads towards certain areas that we ship more to. And we we found that military was some of our best customers. So we're able to, you know, market towards the top 100 military bases in the United States. And getting that data is so key nowadays to running a successful business. And in the customer service end of things, touch points were a major thing. In the past, they would just reach out to the rep. You're like, hey, what's going on with my order? Call us. Now there's touch points along the way, like I mentioned before. And those are also opportunities to upsell too. Man, what else have we in the accounting invoicing world? We've updated a lot of systems there from an archaic look. Yeah. I mean, there's so many opportunities, even for, you know, a local service business, to where you can take that. Well, maybe they are still getting customers from old sources or referrals, or, hey, we've been in Iowa for 20 years. Everyone just knows us, you know, and maybe they're seeing a decline. But now new customers are going on Google and trying to find the best HVAC company or whatever. So, anyway, it's kind of where I see it.
Was any of that like surprisingly hard, right? Because if I'm hearing this and I'm ready to take a legacy system and bring it into the new age, you know, some of that sounds kind of difficult. Like, what kind of specialized expertise? Was it hard? Was there some things that were easier than others? Take us through a little bit of like that experience for you.
Wonderful question. That it was hard, to be honest. I mean, every quarter we set out goals and expectations to where we wanted to be as far as updating the quoting software, updating the invoicing software update. And it generally took about a quarter longer than we anticipated, sometimes even longer than that to implement those systems. It's nice to have a good team around you that works hard and has the same overall goal in mind and make sure everyone's growing in the right direction. Specific examples. Even like, for instance, updating our quoting software. In the past, it was just a very simple, there was double data entry. You were putting together manually creating these quotes. Now we have a fully automated system to where a rep can just pick the style, pick the decoration, and it automatically sends a quote. That alone took probably 6 months to, develop huge pricing lists, implement the right software, get the reps trained, work out the bug. It is a process, but once you're at the end of it, we have the ability to really scale now.
Well, and I think it's important for people to recognize that, like, it might take a week to build these automations end to end, but that's 1 week instead of, 1 day every week in perpetuity, right? So it does feel kind of annoying at the beginning because you're like, I could just do it in the time that it took me to build this automation and get it together. But it's the economy of scale, right? Yeah. And making money and efficiency from doing it once and then having it be repeatable.
Right. Efficiency is so key in any business, really. There was like the push for workers in the Philippines we saw some years ago, people offshoring tasks. And that's even gone a step up now to where, like we said earlier, having AI do some of those tasks. So, efficiency is so key if you want to scale. I can't say that enough.
Thinking about the people that you pay attention to, that you follow, or that you're learning from, who is leading the charge? Who else should we be paying attention to?
Great question. I like Alex Wormozzi. He's kind of the, he's a big voice and a big name online right now. He has such a good message for really any business, especially if you're operating an online business, doing paid advertising and smart ways to scale. Even his sales tactics I bring up to our sales team a lot. He's probably my favorite right now. There's a lot of like SEO people. Like my job's kind of evolved into more of an SEO marketing role. So I'm learning this whole new world of search engine optimization, and it's extremely hard. Nathan Gotch, SEO, he's been amazing. Edward Strom is another SEO. He does a daily podcast, which I really, really enjoy. So those are kind of where I'm at now. And of course, if I could recommend one book, it would be Rich Dad Poor Dad. Kiyosaki. Is his last name? I've like told everyone in my life to read. I even put it on for my wife during a car drive. I'm like, we have to listen to this book because it just like changed my whole outlook on finance, on money, on everything. For anyone, non-entrepreneurs, business owners, people working a regular job, it's a fantastic read.
And if someone is connecting with you, they want to learn more, they want to have a conversation, they want to talk about AI or your business, where can they find you online?
My LinkedIn's always open, Eric Turney, and I'll give you the link too after this. And our website is montereycompany.com. And yeah, we do branded merch, customized merch. I'm always an open book too. If you have any questions about AI, I can point you in the direction to some cool YouTube videos and channels that I've found over the years. Those are the two ones.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating and useful conversation for our listeners.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.